Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Jim McGovern, what are you eating these days?
What am I eating these days?
Yeah, the reason I ask you the question is, now we keep getting different advice from the government as to what will kill us and what won't. So I'm wondering, and you're on that nutrition group.
Given my schedule, I've been eating things that are probably going to kill me sooner rather than later. But look, I mean, I think I think it is important to set out dietary goals and for there to be, you know, strong nutrition standards in the meals we give our kids in schools, and we ought to have good labeling laws so that people know what they're eating. Food is medicine, and you know, we all talk about the importance of trying to control healthcare costs. One of the best ways to control healthcare costs is to keep you healthy and making sure people have access to food and to nutritional food in particular is the surest way to keep you healthy.
Well, you know, if you go in, if you're driving along, and I know you do, and you go into one of those things at the side of the road, there's hardly anything that you can eat, right? I mean, you know, maybe once in a while I have a couple of old apples, but other than that, everything is bad.
Right. And, you know, and I think what we need to do as a society is demand better. I mean, slowly but surely you see the McDonald's of the world, you know, providing salads and, you know, there's a little bit more diversity. But, I do think that, you know, we ought to put a higher premium on nutrition. I've become a huge advocate of better nutrition, not only because I do a lot of work with people who are hungry and food insecure, but because, you know, I've now, in my district, this incredible resource of all these wonderful farmers, small and medium-sized farms all over Massachusetts that are producing good food, healthy food, and we ought to make it more readily and easily available to people. And we ought to make sure that we're teaching our kids in school the importance of good nutrition because, you know, I think that's the way we're going to ultimately change habits. Is if kids get used to good nutritional habits early on, they'll go home and they'll ask their parents for that food, and they'll teach their parents, and you know, and then you begin to create a generation that's got it when it comes to nutrition, and it doesn't become so controversial. Unfortunately, you know, here in Washington, we have a group of Republicans that are trying to undo the nutritional standards on school breakfast and lunch programs. They want to, I mean, I think under intense pressure from the junk food lobby, you know, they're trying to make it easier to give kids junk food and more difficult to give them nutritional food. And I think that's just crazy.
You know, you've used the word poison before, and immediately jumping into my head was the word heroin, which is now an epidemic. I know that you've been interested in this. They're now saying that the kids who were taking oxycodone on the illicit market are now turning to heroin because it's, of all things, cheaper. What can you tell us about this?
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is a huge issue, and there's no simple answer to it. I mean, we have the, a lot of local officials, you know, in the Pioneer Valley have been working on this. John Merrigan and our district attorney, Sullivan, has been great on this stuff. What's happening is that, there are a number of gateways for young people to get hooked onto heroin. And one of the ways is to, you know, their parents' or grandparents' medicine cabinets. And so, we need to help try to make sure people are aware that, these prescriptions like oxycodone, for example, when you're done with them, get rid of them. But people tend to keep these medications and they're in their medicine cabinets and then kids begin to experiment and it's not enough and it is more expensive than the transitioning into heroin. And once you get down that road, you're hooked and then it's a whole other set of problems. But we need to figure out ways to kind of sensitize parents and young people about the ravages of going down that road, and we need to make sure that we have treatment on demand for those who are addicted. You know, there are not a lot of places in your listenership area where there's treatment. Too often, the best treatment is in a prison. And that's really not what we want. And we need to have this discussion about providing more access for people to get help. And that's a controversial discussion because people, while they may say they want it, don't want it in their town or their city or in their neighborhood or wherever. But, you know, we need to make sure that these people who are addicted are getting the help that they need, and we need a better campaign and a better, more effective way to kind of keep people from going down this road to begin with.
So this is a national problem, isn't it? I mean,
it is a national problem. And it's, you know, we're dealing with it all throughout my congressional district. But, there's a correlation between, like, highways and the problem, right?
Yeah.
Where, you know, easy access from, you know, Vermont had a problem, and, you know, it's trickled down into Massachusetts, and, you know, it's just growing and growing and growing. And, you know, and we need to be thinking out of the box and imaginatively about ways to better deal with this, because, you know, campaigns, you know, of just say no aren't enough. And blaming the countries that grow some of this stuff, you know, whether it's cocaine or what have you, you know, is not enough either, because if the demand is here, you know, there'll always be a supplier. And so we need to get at the issue of demand, but we also need to make sure people who are addicted are getting the help that they need.
Jim McGovern, we only have a few minutes more, but I wanted to ask you, it's a little bit off a different trail, about campaign finance reform. Is there really any hope we can get this now that the Republicans, the Supreme Court, Citizens United, all of that has just given them a tremendous advantage? Is there any chance we're going to get any kind of campaign reform?
I think it's very difficult to believe in the next 2 years we're going to get it, because we have a Supreme Court that has made it almost impossible for Congress to regulate or limit the amount we spend on these campaigns. And we have a Congress right now dominated by Republicans who think that the status quo is actually to their benefit, because the more money they think they benefit from that. But look, we this is a movement we're going to have to build, and because we have to change this. This is, you know, it may take a few years, but we have to do it, because it's polluting our political system. It's corrupting our political system. And, you know, I've got two constitutional amendments. One saying that corporations are not people, and the other giving Congress the authority to, you know, to pass laws limiting the amount that that can be spent on these campaigns. So, you know, if we get a good president who will appoint people to the Supreme Court that are more open-minded, we can maybe get the Supreme Court to change its position. Barring that, the only other way to do it is through a constitutional amendment. And I think if that's what it takes, we ought to do it, because nobody, our founding fathers, could never have imagined in their wildest dreams that money would play such an important role in electing people to Congress and to the Senate. This is bad for our country, and it's one of the reasons why you see these policies in place that benefit, you know, wealthy corporate interests. And, you know, we can't seem to do anything to help those in the middle class or those struggling to get in the middle class. It's all motivated and generated by money, and that just has to change.
Of course, both houses, as you say, are controlled by the Republicans right now. An election coming up, Hillary Clinton is going to raise a great deal of money, obviously, sure, in order to do this. Once they raise money like Hillary does or anybody else does, don't they have to sort of worry about, I got here this way, you know, why should we change it?
Look, ideally, in a perfect world, you would like to say no. But let's be honest here. You wouldn't be human if you didn't, you know, feel that, you know, some sort of obligation to people who are interested that raise you a ton of money. I mean, I say all the time, you know, if someone running for Congress, you know, gets approached by, you know, Chevron Oil and says, look, we want to raise you a couple $100,000 in Texas. You go down, you raise the money, you go back, you win the election, and then there's a vote on whether to repeal taxpayer subsidies to big oil companies and give them to green, clean energy. That member of Congress is going to be thinking to himself or herself, if I vote the way I want to vote, basically to end these subsidies, the oil companies will be mad at me, and they'll never raise the money for me again. Mm. But the right thing to do is to support clean, green energy. Nobody, you don't want politicians to have that debate, you know, even in their minds. It's just not good. You ought to elect people to office to tell you what they think, you know, to do their homework, to vote for what they think is in the best interest of their constituents and their country, and money just messes everything up.
Indeed it does. Jim McGovern, we love talking to you. When we come back the next time, let's start with the Keystone Pipeline, okay?
All right.